Turn to Unlocking Secrets for Women, a program paid for and sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back, and this is Candace Newton here in the studio with Colin Hanson, Minister of Health Services for the province of British Columbia. We've been talking about, the big challenges in healthcare and understanding the bigger picture, how we came to be, trying to talk about some of the positive things, healthcare for women, pharmacare, and the changes in pharmacare that are hopefully bringing about positive changes. Mr. Hanson, I have a funny way of looking at things. I don't like being controlled. I've just got this big issue where I like to feel as independent as I can. And with all due respect, government changes sometimes every 4 years in an election. And I hate to be victimized by something that's going to change every 4 years. It feels like an abusive ex-husband sometimes. You know, he's going to withhold money, take it, give it. And so I sort of look at life from a bigger picture point of view and say, you know, forget all these kinds of uncertainties. And I rather position myself as an individual, as an intelligent person in this province, woman, single parent, an intelligent individual, that I want to position myself in a way that is more solid for my own future. And so as a citizen of this province, what can I do myself? Because I want to feel empowered. I don't want to feel victimized by what I think are the whims of government that changes every few years. And, you know, sort of have this sort of mean ex-husband or something, you know, that's sort of telling me what I can and cannot do. I want some power back as an individual. What can I, as a taxpayer and an individual, do? A healthcare worker, what can I do that's going to say, I feel like I've got some of my power back, that I'm not being victimized?
Well, I think the most important thing is to stay healthy and learn about health, preventative health care, mm-hmm. Good nutrition, exercise. The best thing that any single person can do is keep themselves out of the healthcare system by taking good care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a healthcare system that does a great job of providing illness care after people already get diseases. What we mm-hmm. don't do a good job of is helping people to stay healthy in the first place. And we have to put more emphasis on that preventative side of it.
Have we done that? Have you implemented those things that are preventative?
There are a lot of initiatives that are underway, and but clearly a lot more than we can do. You know, one of them is as basic as immunizations that will help prevent the onset of disease and illness among our children. And I think those have made huge strides, and we've expanded actually the immunization programs a lot in these last 2.5 years. We have more to go actually in that regard. But there's programs like Action Schools, which is encouraging more activity in the schools, mm-hmm. not in a way that's sort of around the jocks and those that want to get into football and hockey, but just around activities that 100% of our kids can get involved with. But most importantly, we have to set an example. You know, and I, like for example, I took up running 3 years ago. I love running, mm-hmm. Which I only discovered 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's had a real impact on my own kids, that I've noticed that since I've started running, they've actually started being more physically active too, and getting down to the gym and staying active. So
it's true. My daughter and I are fighting over the treadmill in my room. It's like, okay, but it is true, because when you think about, I mean, I'm assuming you're close to my age, somewhere in there. I don't mind telling how old I am, but unusual for a woman. But in my day, you know, we didn't have the lifestyle set up that we do now. Our lifestyle is very different now, and it's definitely more sedentary. We're on computers all the time. I mean, children are socializing around their computers. That is essentially what's happening all the time. So we don't have the lifestyle set up for that physical activity. And it's interesting how we're having to go back to the days that in the way that we were raised to start bringing back health back into our lives again in activity, unless you have some kind of constitution like George Burns, where you can smoke cigars till the cows come home and drink that shot every day and live till you're 100. I don't know how those
guys
unusual.
Did it. Actually, yeah. An interesting question that comes up out of that is, like, we're both baby boomers, and a lot of people, when you ask what's the fastest growing age group mm-hmm. in British Columbia, a lot of people will say the baby boomers, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, the fastest growing age group in BC are those over the age of 90.
Wow.
And
it's true.
It will grow, the number over the age of 90 will grow by 40% in the next 3.5 years.
Oh my. And they are a bright group. These are an intelligent group of people because they're educated, they're stimulating their minds, they're keeping themselves aware of what's going on around them. That's going to be an interesting challenge to face that. Yeah, you wonder how the Bob Hopes and the George Burns and all the rest of them lived their life and they did everything what we think is wrong, but they did it right and they're still existing. And well, they not now, but they did. They lived a long, sustainable life. So then other than, you know, obviously keeping ourselves healthy and participating in that, which is very important, and I agree with you, over those preventative changes, and I'm going to be looking forward to more and more things that we can hear coming out of health services that's going to encourage that together with education and activities. What else can we do? Are there other things that we can do as citizens that will help us to sort of do our part to fix this, at least in our own province here? Because as I think I told you on the break, in BC, we have it's a beautiful province. People love to be here. And I think that it's a bigger challenge for us in some of certain provinces across the country when we have a population that loves to be here.
Yeah, but I think information is so empowering. Mm-hmm. And, a couple of years back, the ministry sent out a health guide to every household in the province.
And it's
a great resource. And I find that people feel empowered by that because they can look up a particular condition. They can get information as to whether they should, in fact, go to a doctor or an emergency room or whether this may be something that's not as serious. And that's actually online now, too, on our website. You know, the information on the web is huge. Mm-hmm. The Ministry of Health Services website has a lot of information about managing chronic conditions and health prevention. And the other thing that we have been expanding is the nurse line.
I love that. I absolutely love that nurse line. We work in Emerge. We love the nurse line because there's so many phone calls that we can field to the nurse line that takes off the emergency room pressure.
Yeah, the nurse line, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And it's a 1-800. I think it's 1-866. I should be careful here, 217-4700, I think. but it's at the end of that line, any citizen of the province can get access to some health guidance. And it's averted unnecessary emergency room visits. Mm-hmm. It's averted unnecessary doctor visits. The other thing that they found was in the overnight hours from the evening and overnight till 8 o'clock in the morning, a lot of their calls were related to medications and side effects from medications. So they have actually just extended it to include a pharmacist who can be available.
Excellent.
Like the nurses can refer to the pharmacist just with simply, you know, transferring the call over and get that pharmacist advice during the wee hours of the morning. And that that initiative actually has just won a national award for pharmacy innovation.
Well, I would think so, because it's just intelligent, just makes sense, common sense to give people that access to information. I know that we have used the nurse line ourselves in our home with our kids, and it's fantastic. Who wants to drag their children out in the middle of the night if you don't have to, or to go into an emergency room and sit there and wait for hours and hours at a time? There's some people that are going to have to wait, but for those of, you know, if we can avoid, you know, using the emergency department really as a clinic, it makes it easier because we can then deal with the problems we need to. And to be able to access a pharmacist in the middle of the night to say, how much medicine can I give my baby right now? And this is how big he is, how old he is, and he's not feeling well. What can I give him? It is. And the health line is very good. They take their time with you. They don't rush you through anything. And we found these nurses are very great, very compassionate. And they spent a lot of time in our particular situation with one of my daughters. They spent a good half hour on the phone. And then they were concerned. They said, please call us back if you have any other problems. They followed through with that, which was phenomenal. And encouraged us to see the family doctor in the day. It's a very good program, and I think it's necessary because of how busy we are. We need to give something back into the hands of people where we can call.
But I think all of these things are empowering for people too.
Absolutely,
because you know, the days when healthcare was something where the doctor dealt with the technical side of what's wrong and sent you home.
Yeah.
It's got to be much more holistic than that.
And our doctors, bless their hearts, are busy. They're busy people, and they try their very best to accommodate what they can. But, you know, as we get more and more educated and more access to knowledge, women in particular are, and not saying anything against men, but women who are the caregivers in their family, for the most part, are very, very, very proactive about finding information. I mean, you've got websites on the internet that are virtual hospital, you've got just about everything, and women are starting to educate themselves and going back to their physicians and saying, we want this done, or tell us about this. And so even the way that medical companies or even healthcare is marketed in the past is completely changing its face.
Yeah.
It's now going almost direct to the consumer. They're doing it. Those women are on the internet. They're searching out answers. They're coming to their doctors with information, and they're sort of taking that proactive, like you say, empowering stance of themselves towards their own healthcare and the healthcare of their families in general. And that does give people power. Information is power. And that's very important, that I think we as citizens of a province and as a country begin to understand that we have a role to play as citizens in our own betterment of our own country and the betterment of our own province, finding things that we can do as citizens to improve. And to, you know, it's sort of funny. I have sort of this saying. I have people look at me and say, well, the government should be doing this. And then they get mad when the government has too much control. And I was like, kind of like a catch-22, you know? I think that we are intelligent people. I think we can sustain ourselves very, very well. I think we're creative. We're smart in this province in particular. I happen to be biased to BC. Victoria-born girl makes me a little biased. But I think we can do much more to help ourselves in this province to become and to achieve our goals together, instead of looking at government as being antagonistic. Really and truthfully, government are our servants. They are there to serve us and to work together with us to achieve the same goals. And, you know, whether or not we believe that, if we've become too cynical over the years, it is the truth. And to be able to embrace that concept and put that forward in our minds, I choose to look at things from that perspective. It doesn't mean that I'm naive. It doesn't believe that I don't see things that I particularly think are a challenge. It means that I've chosen to look at things from a different perspective. And that is to say, you know what, we can put hand in hand and arm in arm and work on this together, because it's our problem. We elect people in and we've asked them to serve us. And now we need to work together with them on those solutions. And that's my personal philosophy. And I hold to that, try to teach that in my classrooms. Well, Mr. Hansen, I appreciate you taking the time to come in today, particularly on this particular day. It was not planned that you would be here today. It was planned that you'd be here today, but it was sort of not this particular day. We had no idea that this would be the day, and I appreciate that as an HEU member that you've didn't shy away from having me talk to you. And I appreciate you coming in and taking time off your day off. I don't think you get much time off, especially with the budget that you have. So I'm particularly grateful that you came in to speak with us.
Well, thanks very much. I must say I do enjoy the job, and it's because there's lots of challenges out there, and the job never gets the least bit boring, I'll tell you.
I was going to ask you, you must have some kind of something going on in you to want to take on such a bulldog challenge in front of you, because that's, I don't know, do you sleep well?
I do.
Good
it's,
for you.
Mind you, I find if I don't get out for a good long run every now and again, I went out for a 15K run this morning.
Oh, you
and that's
did?
That's a good stress reliever.
So. Holy, I just feel like, and I went to two church services this morning back to back. I had we did a show on domestic violence, and this wonderful, fabulous group of women that are, you know, getting well and healing has asked me to come and celebrate together with them in their victories. So I was busy running around to do different places today trying to help these women celebrate in their victories. And I love it when women decide to get well in every way and try to do the very best that they can to improve their lives. So anyways, it was great having you here. I just want to remind everyone that on May the 1st, this Saturday, I will be speaking at the Pan Pacific Hotel with Deb Hope from Global Television and Amanda McKay, MTV VJ. And we're doing our fundraiser for the Marguerite Dixon Transition House. It's a wonderful event, Pan Pacific Hotel, fabulous prizes. We want to thank Diamond Direct for the donation of a $2,500 diamond pendant, which apparently I'm not supposed to be able to win. I guess that's what happens when you're the speaker. You don't get to win it. But I'll be talking about self-esteem and women and being your own best friend and becoming well and whole. We're awesome creatures. We've got a lot to offer, and it's important that we treat ourselves well and being our own best friends. I want to thank Leilani Kopp at sweetleilani.com for her incredible makeup. Leilani cares about people, and she donates 15% of the profits of the foundation that she has designed to the Vancouver Burn Unit to assist them in teaching people how to utilize her products that are 100% natural for her skin. Thank you to Evelyn Charles Hair Salons right there on Granville and 11th for great hairstyles, great staff, great place to go and get pampered and treated like a queen, and I think them for what they're doing for me. And I just wanted to also thank the Abbott Laboratories, a division of Abbott Canada, to the Ross Division of Abbott Canada for their exceedingly generous donation to Stepping Stones, which was a program we had on here a few months back when we asked them to help supply baby formula and products to the pregnancy teen pregnancy unit. They went over, above, and beyond what they could have done, and we deeply, deeply thank these major corporations that take it upon themselves to show their generosity to the citizens of our province and this Canadian company that has chosen to do that for us, and we're deeply grateful, and I wanted to thank them for their exceedingly abundant generosity for that. And I want to just tell everyone that Unlocking Secrets for Women has taken on a new challenge to become the voice across Canada. We are working on a national launch. We're working very hard together to work together on a national launch. We're excited about that. We want to be the voice that empowers communities across this country, bringing experts on, bridging the gap between government and public, helping us understand what's really going on, having experts that will help us understand how to deal with all the challenges that we face as a society. We're excited about that. There has never been a voice across Canada before in this unified way for women and their families, and we're excited about launching that. You'll be hearing more about that in the weeks and months coming up, and so I just tell you to go out there and enjoy your beautiful day. It's a gorgeous day. Get out there and do your 15K run like the health minister has. I wondered why you looked so red when you came in. Anyways, thanks to everyone. We're here today. Thank you again, Mr. Hansen, and thanks to the staff here at CFUN for helping us out today, and we'll see you next Sunday. That's here on Unlocking Secrets for Women.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM. The proceeding has been a paid program sponsored by CDN Instructional Services.